Welcome back to the Passion Pit, the podcast that spotlights the movers, the shakers, and the indie art makers of New York City. I'm Jay Michaels. Now, the term independent, when used in the arts, usually meant film. Indie filmmaking was a coined term before it hit the lively live arts. We were always called off-off-Broadway, which is losing its cutting edge over these decades. Thus, we are now indie theater. But there's now a new indie, Indie TV. Webisodes and full series are appearing online with the frequency of plays in a theater festival. Now, thanks to Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, YouTube, all access channels, and so much more, the new TV is also the new indie. We're going to hear from Alex Pieris, the creator of Peas in a Pod, a new series which could be the Seinfeld or Friends of the millennial generation. He and his co-star, Stephanie Windland, chatted with me about getting the show off the ground and on the air. Now, we had to cut in from two different lines, and it was windy outside, and I don't think I paid my phone bill yet or something like that, so the connection's tiny bit rough, but bear with us.
We had to battle the elements to get together. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the third call through. That's why we had to merge in. We're talking to Alex Pieris and Stephanie Windland of the new series, Peas in a Pod. It is a web series, and it's basically the millennial Friends or Seinfeld, as it's about genuine friendship and not any of that other underlying stuff that every series happens to have. Guys, tell me all about the show.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Who'd like to start and tell me about the show?
Stephanie, go ahead.
Okay, so like you said, you're Peas in the Pod. I love that you said it was like the millennial Seinfeld. That's a great way of starting it. We are very dedicated to kind of bringing in old style of comedy, like a Seinfeld, Friends, but also mixing it with new things like Broad City and with Scrubs. Is another one that we love. And we also love the idea of a man and a woman being together, and there's just no sexual tension. It's more will they or won't they, and I think that a lot of comedic opportunities open up when you can just be comfortable the way that two women would be with each other or two men. Yeah.
I think that's really great, because I remember I'm not a millennial. And I remember series like Moonlighting where we almost forgot whatever the plot was. We were just wondering whether they were ever going to get together. And how many times do we just wait for that and it negates the series? Here it allows the writing, it allows the acting to come through so much stronger.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And also, once you have the relationship on the show, so you build up all this tension and they get together, then it's almost like, oh, where do we go from here? Because that's kind of what the show is about. And so now what do we do with them as a couple? And then a lot of shows end up just kind of breaking them up and getting them back together and breaking them up. And you know how it goes.
I was taught in the good old days, that's what an old fashioned musical is. It's boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl again. That seems to be every show. So it's nice that we're able to say, okay, put that aside. We don't care. Let's worry about this. And that's shown in the uproarious scene when you two try to have sex. It was downright vaudeville, which was excellent.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I think it was pretty carefully planned in terms of like the writing and then blocking it out, framing and everything. It's like, how do we make this funny, make it make sense and relatable, and also really just like drive home the whole point of this episode and the whole show. So I'm glad that it came across.
Oh, for sure. As you guys know, I've been shopping this around all over, and the worst comment I've heard was that they want more, which is absolutely gorgeous. Alex, tell me about as you are the creator, as well as one of the two titular characters, one of the two peas, tell us how you came about to do this, to create this.
Yeah, so in late 2015, I ran into a colleague of mine who I worked on another web series with back in New England. And we decided to try to work together to just kind of write some sketches and just to do something. And I was not a writer really by any means, or, you know, I really just kind of considered myself an actor. But I just thought, you know, why not? I didn't have much else going on. And so we wrote some sketches and they were funny and, you know, it was working out for a bit, but then that partnership kind of fizzled out. And I kind of put the sketches to, you know, to bed for a little bit. And then I met, you know, several other creative partners, like trying to figure things out. And the sketches kind of turned more into a fully thought out idea. And then by the time that, like, I met Stephanie, I had already, like, come to the decision that, like, I wanted to do a series, like an episodic, where the male and female leads don't have a romantic relationship. They're strictly platonic. Because then you could have a slew of comedic opportunities there. And it's also just something I've never seen before in, like, a, you know, a sitcom or even like a drama comedy or anything like that. In this exact way. And then, you know, we used some of the sketches that I wrote back before in 2015. And we turned them into, like, full on episodes and, just solidified the ideas a little more of, like, who the characters are and where this, you know, the season would go and that kind of a thing. And then we started shooting, and that happened in, meeting Stephanie and working on it from there started in, 2018. About the middle of it this summer, I think. And here we are now with a finished pilot and, midway through, shooting the rest of season one.
This is great. So you're already proceeding in terms of the whole season. Where do you get your ideas from? Do they come organically? Does something happen and you go, hey, what if we did this? Almost like the good old days on that. Or is it like, do you have an idea of where each episode is going, or is it more organic?
It's pretty different for each episode, I think. Like I said, because at least half of the episodes are from the sketches I wrote back in 2015, They were a combination of just, like, what I thought was funny or something sort of topical at the time or something that really had to do with me personally. For example, we have the pilot. You know, dating is a very quintessential issue that everybody deals with, no matter who you date or what it is. It's just a struggle for everybody. And so I just thought, how do I turn, like, the dating, like, cliche into something sort of original and interesting? So that's what we did with, like, the pilot and the idea. Other things are just, like, you know, I don't want to give away, like, plot for episodes or whatever, but, you know, something that, like, you know, struggles that I just, like, deal with all the time or, you know, or whatever. And then when Stephanie came in, it was just like, okay, how do we bring in her comedic voice and ideas into it so that way it feels a little more cohesive instead of just, like, completely, you know, my ideas from years ago or whatever. So
right,
that's more or less how it's going to work.
So you guys essentially are contributing to each thing. You guys are bringing your own thoughts. So we're looking at realism on that level.
Yeah.
How about the production schemes? There are some really great, I use the grand old word shtick, within there. We see some really uproarious moments. We see some real slapstick going on. Are you going for this performance element where we have the old vaudeville touches for it? Are you looking at things like that? Because that was great. The things I saw in the pilot were uproarious on that level.
I think in terms of the comedy, we're in an age where I think that labeling yourself to, like, one thing is just detrimental to, like, what you could do with it. So I don't consider us just a sitcom or even just, like, a drama comedy or, you know, anything very specific like that. The comedy in each episode lends itself to a different style. There are some moments or some episodes that are a little more slapstick, vaudeville or whatever. Some are a little more dry and, you know, sardonic, or some are, you know, just straight sort of surreal realism type stuff or whatever. Some are a little heavier, a little more on the drama side than not. you know, it's not a show just to make people laugh. Like, we want to make people think, and we want to stir up conversations, and there's a true message and meaning behind every scene, never mind every episode. And so if you really pay attention, you can catch all of that.
Very cool. So this is essentially performance art. You've given us the story, and now you're saying, and now here's a million different ways to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, like I said, each episode is got its, I mean, it's all definitely one show. It all feels like it's the same show, but each episode kind of has its own vibe, especially considering the subject matter that each episode has, and so on. And so, you know, you're not necessarily looking at the same comedy, so to speak, in every episode. I mean, look at just the pilot that's out right now. You have impressions, you have, you know, homages to other episodes and other TV shows and movies. You have the slapstick element. So we like to kind of incorporate it all. And that was a big part of me when I started this. I didn't want to just be this one thing. I wanted to do anything and everything that I thought was funny and that's within my wheelhouse. Because why not?
That's great. That's exactly right. Okay, we're talking about wheelhouse. Both of you, tell me about your own acting trajectory, your own acting careers. Where were you, and how have you come into this series? What are you bringing in terms of being actors?
I've been performing. I always find this to be like the most annoying answer, but pretty much my whole life, like, it's really the only skill set I have. And I've been doing musical theater for a really long time. That was like, when I had met Alex, it was pretty much all I'd ever done, you know, maybe a couple of plays, but it was all musical theater. And we met at a perfect time because I was just getting a little worn out with the whole musical theater scene. And I really wanted to do more like straight plays or film work. I had no film experience, or I should say I had terrible film experiences, great stories though. And
they always are, aren't they? The worst show is the best stories.
Oh my goodness. Listen, if this is for another interview, but I could tell you some crazy, crazy stories. But my like track record with film was just not good because weird things would happen and they just wouldn't get produced. And then Alex was like, hey, he came to me with the idea of Peas in a Pod. It wasn't even called that yet, actually. But just he gave me the pilot script and the characters, and I was like, oh, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And it's perfect because of what you were just saying with this kind of like slapstick, like a tiny bit over the top moment. You know, a bigger comedy is the perfect way, I think, for a musical theater girl to get into the film world. Because, you know, it's a completely different medium.
Oh, of course.
So it allows me to learn how to be smaller on screen, but like still get to kind of keep some of that theatricality that I love so much.
You can't see me. I'm nodding. I'm nodding as you're saying this, because I'm nodding because in watching your performance, it is obvious that you understand the rudiments of musical theater comedy. The whole inflection, the whole use of your body was right on the mark with that, and it was really engaging and really a lot of fun. So when you said musical theater, I was like, uh-huh.
Oh, see, you can't see me, but I'm flushed red. And
Alex, how about you? My pleasure. Alex, how about you? Where did you come from?
So I'm from New Bedford, Massachusetts. Shout out to my new Beigers. And I also have been acting forever. I did like the drama club in high school, and show choir and all that stuff. And, it was pretty much there that it solidified for me when I did plays like Our Town and All My Sons, and Tartuffe, this like French farce. That I loved acting, and I had people coming up to me even then when I was complete amateur, didn't know anything about the craft of acting or anything like that. I had people coming up to me and telling me that I needed to pursue this professionally because I have something here. And it meant a lot, but I still decided to go the safe route, and I got accepted to like a fast track program at Mass College of Pharmacy to be a physician assistant. So I was on my way to that, and I just knew almost immediately that this was not the path for me. I was like, I would much rather do this on TV or something because it's not working out. So I left and kind of paid my dues in like the small Boston market, saved up enough money to move to New York. And I've been here for almost 4 years. And so I've now had the pleasure of like doing everything from high school theater all the way through like, you know, web series, short films, feature films, TV, commercials, industrials, you name it. And I've taken all that experience and everything I've learned in both Boston and now New York to try to make this web series the best I can. So
you have credentials in French farce and other classical work, yes? Is that what I'm hearing?
Sure, I guess you could say that.
The reason I say that is because you had a great mastery of humor. It is easy to destroy the impression sequence that you did in the pilot. It is easy to destroy that, and you did not. It was hilarious. It was timed well. It was shot beautifully. So again, I could see that you both have the rudiments of the grand old theater in you that you're able to master. You're able to master your material so fast. It was fun watching you. Let's put it that way. Now let's talk about the medium that you're in. Webisodes. This is the new TV. This is the new streaming television. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your thoughts on webisodes, on the future of television, if you were.
Ooh. Well, first off, let me just say to answer one more thing. In terms of us being understanding the rudimentary elements of theater and whatnot, I can't speak for Stephanie, but for me, somebody like Jim Carrey is my inspiration initially for acting. So he's just got this larger than life personality. And so I've always been a sucker for like impressions and just being huge and whatnot. I really connect with that. And so I think that is probably found its way through all of my work, just this theatricality and whatnot. We're very much, especially in the beginning of my career, I was very much told to, you know, bring it down because my eyebrows were launched into the back of my neck and I was just, you know, flailing all over the place like an animal.
Don't bring it down. So, Jim Carrey was the first performer to make $20 million. So keep it up. The eyebrows and the talent.
Oh, thank you. So I will. But to answer your question about webisodes, we're in such a gray area with it. It's so new still to like the world that everybody is just in this free for all where I think we're all just trying to make it. And it feels like for the most part that, you know, we're all just trying to maybe follow the episodic format that we see on mainstream television or whatever, but just shorter. Which is definitely a big part of it. But I think that, like always, the indie world is a great place to just get as experimental and unique and out there as you possibly want, because, you know, it's already indie. So if nobody's going to see it, you might as well, you know, you might as well do exactly what you want. But it's being proven over and over again that these indie creators are starting to get some attention. You know, you have the Issa Rae's, you have the couple that created High Maintenance. You have
right.
Alana and Abby from Broad City. They're doing what they find interesting and funny and unique. And in those cases, like with web series, and people saw their potential. And so we're hoping to have similar success in getting this. If this were like fully produced in the way that that I want it to be and how I think we both want it to be, it would blow the lid off of what, you know, a typical comedy has been, at least in the United States. So
do you feel that the time is right now? I'm from what I'm seeing, to go from the webisode, to go from the indie, if you will, onto streaming on Amazon or Netflix or Hulu or any of them is so much easier. So much, I can't say easier. Easier is nothing in the entertainment industry, but so much more accessible. Do you think that this is a good time, to get into webisodes, to get into filming pilots for different projects? Do you think the opportunities are stronger now thanks to all the streaming opportunities?
Oh, absolutely. I also think, I don't want to say the only time, it's almost the only way at this time right now. You know, especially for two actors, like the industry is so saturated with actors that it's nearly impossible to get noticed or get your stuff out there without creating it yourself. Mm-hmm. And as we see, you know, we have Amazon and Hulu, but now you're also seeing Facebook TV and Instagram TV. And these are platforms that didn't originally start on a level of entertainment. They started as social media. So from what I've gathered from people that know a little bit more about like Facebook TV, Instagram TV, is these are people that are like just looking for someone to come in and do the work for them. So they're like, oh, you have a show? Great. Like, we have the money. Let's do it. And so I think now is absolutely the time.
Cool. I completely agree with you. There are moments I'm watching a show on Netflix, and I'll stop for a moment and go, how the hell did this happen? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in the sense I just saw one about the loving relationship between a dominatrix and her gay friend. And I remember.
Oh, yes.
It was a great series. I watched every second of it. I loved it. And I thought to myself, 10 years ago, this would never have even been spoken about. 20 years ago, people would have told you to shut up. So now is the time when imagination seems very powerful. On that level, where do you guys want it to go? The magical television magic lamp comes down and says, okay, let's give you the wishes that you wish. Where do you want this series to go?
Oh, Alex, do you want to go first?
Oh, there's the bus.
What? Oh, no, I have my answer. I just did it because I just spoke, so I don't know if you want to go first.
No, it's okay. I'm kidding. Honestly, and this is not a cop-out, I don't have any one particular option that is like my number one. There are several homes for this where I really see it happening just based on other things that they've made. So Comedy Central is up there. Netflix is up there. I would love a sort of, you know, HBO type thing where we could definitely get a little dirtier, a little grungier, and like not have to worry about it. And I think that we have the liberty to be, again, make more chances, just kind of like saying they're just looking for somebody to deliver it as ready to go as possible. So we don't have to hear any specific, you know, time stamps of each episode, a particular, style of comedy or a particular language that we use. We could totally have full freedom with this because everybody is looking for the next, you know, the next best thing, the big money maker, like whatever is really there. I will say whatever home that we have, I would want us to be able to keep as much creative control and freedom as possible because, you know, when you get the suits come in and start telling you to, you know, say this or don't do this or can this happen or whatever is when, you know, a show starts to lose its integrity. But
I've noticed that's going away. The notion of losing creative control, that the executive producer is the creator and it stays the way they want. So happily, I think you're going to have that wish for sure. Stephanie, where's it going?
Okay. So I agree with Alex. There's 10 million possibilities that could make me super happy. But if I'm going to write the story of my like dream ending, it's HBO executives come over and they're like, whoa, this show is fire. We want to make it darker. I love like a dark comedy. And so then we work with HBO and we make like a dark, not that, but it's actually what Alex said, like a grungier version of Peas in a Pod. And then all of a sudden they're like, Game of Thrones, what? Which is, I am a huge fan of Game of Thrones, so that's not saying anything. But I'm saying in this like dream fairy world that's what happens. But however, like truly getting picked up by any huge platform that wanted to work with us and like use our ideas would be lovely.
So your dream is of course to mount a dragon and then just set everything on fire except for Alex. Very good.
Okay. It would be for Polly to kill the Night King. That's the dream.
Yeah, that's where Peas in a Pod is going. If it's, it lands on HBO, Polly is a dragon with a crown, and she's killing everybody except for, I don't know, Khaleesi. I don't know much about Game of Thrones. So.
And then at the very end, the dragon just sets the coffee house on fire, and then all is done.
Yes, there you go.
That's the pilot episode, on the fully produced pilot.
Guys, this has been great. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm going to tell all our viewers how they can see the pilot and what they can do to make sure that this series goes on and on and on, and that both your dreams come true, and that HBO and Netflix and all of them are vying for your attention, as well they should, because you have a brilliant piece of work that you're giving to us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you both very much, and I will definitely be talking to you soon.
Wonderful. Thank you. Can't wait.
Thanks. Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
Would you like more people to attend your show? At Applaud, we combine artificial intelligence and human intuition to expand your audience and increase ticket sales. For a limited time, we'll help you fill your seats free of charge to prove our value. That's right, we will promote your show at no cost if you begin right away. Sound good? For more information, email promote@applaud.com.
See, now, I'm a TV-holic, so I'm going to be sitting and watching the rest of the season the moment I can. We'll hear from Richard Wingert, the show's executive producer, on a future program. Meanwhile, next time we're going to get back to indie theater, and this time we're going off-Broadway for a long-awaited and very exciting project coming to New York this fall. Until next time.